This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. And on this episode, I'm going to be talking to three riders who took part in the East Coast Eventing 25 winter training session that took place in Ocala, Florida recently. We'll be hearing from Jacob Fletcher from North Little Rock, Arkansas, and Sophie Click from Snoqualmie, Washington State. And we begin with Amanda Beale Clement from Phoenixville, Pennsylvania. Amanda, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, you've just attended the Under 25 East Coast training session there in Ocala, but you're actually in Tampa. So why don't you start by telling us where you're based normally in the winter and why you're in Tampa?
Yeah, so in the winter, I'm based in Aiken, South Carolina at my my mom's Susie Beale's Carinamount Stable South. So I attended the training sessions in Ocala and then competed three horses at the Grand Oaks this past weekend. And now I'm in Tampa for 4 days intensive dressage training with my grandfather, Jeremy Beale.
So that's pretty intense now. This has become a professional career for you, has it already? I mean, where are you in terms of school and what you want to do with your career and if this is indeed your professional career?
Yes, so it is my professional career. It's what I love to do. But I just started my first semester at Westchester University in August of 2017. So that was definitely a big learning curve, but I was able to cram all of my classes into Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, which made those days very long. But having Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays to ride, teach, and compete was amazing.
That's perfect scheduling then.
Yes, it was. I was very lucky.
All right, let's talk about the training session then, Amanda. First of all, tell us about the horse all the horses that you're currently working with for this season.
Yes, so at the training sessions, I rode Kenny Calypso. He is an 8-year-old Westphalian Chicaner cross. He was imported from Germany by Cara Angelo, and my mom, Susie Beale, has produced him up to the 1-star level, and he has plans to move up to intermediate this spring. And then my other horse, Get Ready, he is absolutely amazing. We had a great 2017 season. We competed the Fairhill CCI 2-star, and then we went on to jump double clean with just some time penalties at the CIC 3-star at Ocala Jockey Club. So it was a really long season, so he had a well-deserved vacation. He's starting back up into work for the spring season, and we have plans for Jersey Fresh coming along. And my other horse, Aspire R, he finished the year at Plantation in September. He was second at the CIC 1-star. He's owned by Leslie Collins and Susie Beale. And I have plans of moving him up to the 2-star level this spring also.
Yes, you are going to be busy then. So let's talk about the session there, the training session, and what you were wanting to get out of this when you went into it, what your expectations were, and what you actually came away with.
Yeah, so going into the training sessions as a rider, I knew I really needed to improve my skills on the flat. And having the opportunity to ride multiple horses makes one realize that every horse is different. And to be a top rider, I have to learn feel and what each horse needs. And I need to develop that effectiveness in the saddle. So that was something I definitely wanted to work on. Specifically with the Canny Calypso horse, his strength is cross country. And his weakness is his show jumping. So my goal was to improve his rideability and adjustability, which the first day Leslie addressed in our dressage lesson. So from there on, we carried that into Tuesday show jumping, where he jumped superbly, and I felt his footwork had really just already improved. And then by Wednesday, I had another flat lesson, and I just kept working on that rideability. And then by Thursday for our cross-country lesson, that's, yeah, as I said, his strong point. So he was just so wonderful for me out there. And then from there, we went to Grand Oak, and it was just a perfect setup before that competition. I had never competed him before, so it was just a great setup to have Leslie work on the basics and work on the horse and myself as a whole.
Now, because he's so good cross-country, presumably your flat work is where you're focusing, is it, Amanda, in particularly dressage, or is the work to be done in your show jumping?
Yeah, so between each fence is dressage. So that adjustability and rideability in the flat is ultimately going to help me in the show jumping. So I think it definitely all goes back to the dressage, which is why I'm here in Tampa this week with my grandfather.
Now, talk about yourself as a rider in terms of your development. Obviously, you're blessed with wonderful family support and experience that's going to be helping you along this journey, Amanda. But in terms of your rider development, what do you think the last season has taught you and why those training sessions are going to be helpful for you moving on to the next season?
Of course, yeah. So I am extremely lucky to have all the support from my family. With the E25 training session, so they're a pathway to represent the United States on a team. So with that, I think about, I'm not just a rider, and I want to be talented, and riding is my goal, but it's also about being a good horseman. What's so great about these training sessions is we have talks and discussions each morning with Leslie, and lectures at lunch with top specialists in our sport. Each talk teaches you something about horsemanship, nutrition, the business, veterinary care, which is all part of making us well-rounded competitors. And additionally, these sessions really allowed me the opportunity to watch other riders on their horses, having their lessons. And I'm a visual learner, so watching Leslie teach a variety of different horses and riders is very helpful to me.
And in terms of the theory, do you enjoy that side of things, or are you just itching to get back outside into the barn?
Yeah, I am. I really am. But, you know, basics are so important, the fundamentals. Leslie, he has a great way of teaching. It just immediately made sense to me. He focuses on the training skills, which is that basis of good riding. I love to be on the horse, but to be on the horse, you have to be in the barn and know your horse so you can trust them when you're riding.
Do you have an appetite for reading and being more studious about the horsemanship side of things, the theoretical side of things, Amanda?
I do, yes, definitely. I think my grandfather also, he's written books about dressage and competing and eventing and being a good horseman, and I find that very interesting. And in school, actually, I am studying psychology and sports psychology, which is really helping me with the riding, you know, taking what I am learning and putting that to use when I get to the show or when I'm in a bit of a sticky situation, you know, having instinct and using what I've learned and using it when I get to the show.
So tell us then what you're looking forward to with the season ahead then while you're down in Florida. And you'll be back up in Aiken shortly, of course, and then during the winter season. And then what next for you this summer? Do you have big plans?
Yeah, so this spring, you know, the big thing for me is I really want to work on the basics and really want to work on myself as a rider, improving my skills and being effective. So this spring and this winter when I get back to Aiken, as I'm legging get ready back up, we'll be working on our basics and really working on our flat work because he's an absolutely fantastic jumper. I have all the faith in the world with him, but we really need to work on our basics and trotting down that center line and having that, you know, I can do this feeling. And a little bit, that's why I'm taking psychology in college. You know, I need to have that positive outlook and saying, you know, I can do this. I have put all the work in and I'm ready.
That's a great attitude. Well, it sounds like you're pretty determined and ambitious. What are your long-term goals then, Amanda?
So that's tough. So my plan is to finish college in 4 years. I'm in my first year right now and keep riding. Luckily, my mother has a fantastic program training young riders, adult amateurs, and we're actually bringing along a few young horses right now, and so that's very exciting. And for the future, you know, I hope to learn as much as I can from her before I go out on my own. But I absolutely love the work she does with young riders, and that's ultimately definitely what I want to do too.
All right, lots to look forward to then, and sounds like a busy winter of training before you get into the spring
yes.
season. So the very best of luck with it all, Amanda, and thank you for taking the time to come on the program.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
And joining me now is Sophie Click, who is originally from Snoqualmie, Washington, but she's now based on the East Coast. Hi, Sophie. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you.
Tell us a little bit about where you're based then for the winter and where you are when you're not in Aiken.
So I'm currently based at Rattle Creek with Lillian Hurd. We're only here until March, and then we'll go back up to Pennsylvania for the rest of the year.
How many horses do you have with you in winter training?
Two of my own.
So tell us about those, and are they the both of those or one of those that was with you with for the training camp, the training session down in Ocala? Tell us which one you took.
I brought both, although I only rode Fernhill Rising in the camp, but I was lucky enough to take a lesson from Leslie separate with my other horse, Hot Wheels.
Okay, so let's talk about the training camp itself then, and what you were looking for with the Fernhill horse when you were going into this camp. What were your expectations? What did you hope to get out of it?
I was just hoping that he could improve Stan and I, which is Fernhill Rising, that's his barn name, and help us with the show jumping especially. We struggle there, and Leslie actually got on Fernhill Rising, and we really ironed some stuff out, and he's been amazing since then.
What were the sort of things that you had to iron out that you took away from the last season, last year, that you felt you really had to focus on during the winter?
Yeah, so we just needed a smoother ride in general. Just both the horse and I needed to be on the same page, and Leslie really helped me learn how to do that with him, and yeah, I'm really excited for this show season.
Give us an idea of what those little details were, though, because when it comes to eyeing out some of the blips, some of the glitches that you have, you do need some help from a professional. What did you feel they were that were bugging you?
Yeah, of course. We just needed to keep a more like constant pace throughout and not so much, you know, forward and back to the jumps and keeping our rhythm more and having it all be more of a like a steady, constant ride.
And you felt that you achieved that? Do you know now you have the tools that you can take away from that training session that is going to help you now to continue your training over the winter? How do you feel about that? Or do you feel that you're going to need to go back and get some more help from someone? Talk a little bit about that process of training and implementing what you learn in a training session.
Yeah, certainly. So Leslie definitely gave me some newer things that I hadn't heard before with Stan. I've only had him a year, so we're pretty green together, but what I took most from it was he wanted me to keep my hands very low, and that helped a lot. He's going much better, and I've been working on it a lot at home, just by myself and with Lillian, and it's definitely improved a lot.
So that's going to help your approach to the fences too. Which are your strong phases with Stan?
I think our strongest phase is probably cross country. We just really click together, and it's very easy for him when I give him the right ride. And he's also very naturally good at dressage, and so that helps a lot too. And then I'm definitely weakest in the show jumping, and he's not weak in the show jumping, but I just have to give him the right ride to help him be successful.
Talk a little bit about the partnership that you formed with him. You say you've only had him a year. What was it about selecting him in the first place and finding you had, you know, the horse that you hoped would you take you up through the ranks now, what was it about his temperament and his experience that you that really fitted, that worked for you?
He's a very forward-thinking horse. He always wants to go faster. I like riding really forward too, but and I've had to learn to like kind of chill him out and say, no, you don't have to go fast all the time. And he's really taken to that. And now we're both on the same page with that. And yeah.
So that's a good start then. That's a good foundation now going forward. What kind of temperament does he have then, apart from his need for speed?
Well, he's pretty quiet. I mean, in the barn and stuff, he's pretty quiet. He'll stand there, kids run around, dogs go holding to the barn, and he doesn't mind any of that. He's very willing. He's always trying to do his best and do what I'm asking of him. And that helps it a lot, too, because, you know, he's trying so hard all the time. So that's why I have to give him everything I have and give him the best ride. And that's really how he'll be successful.
What were your best results last year with him, Sophie?
Our best results. Our very first show, we went prelim at Fresno in California, and we got second place. And then we went to NAJYRC this year as well and did the two-star, and he got seventh place there. And we got team silver. And we finished the season at Fair Hill, where he was 16th overall, and we were first place young rider.
Well, that's a great start in your first year together. What have you been focusing on for the season whilst you're in Aiken this winter, in terms of the competitions that you'll do during the winter season and going into the spring?
So the first couple shows, I'm just kind of getting him back into the rhythm of competing, and we're going to take it easy at first just to see where he's at and see what we need to work on for this season. And then we'll start really like showing, and I think I'm going to try to do the Bromont two-star with him, but of course we'll see how it goes and see how he handles everything, but that's my goal for this spring.
But what's your next competition then, Sophie?
Pine Top in February.
Okay. And when you look ahead to your partnership with him, how old is he now?
He's 10.
So looking down the road with him, what would you like to achieve? What are your long-term goals with this partnership?
I mean, all of us want to do like four-star, but of course I'll just see what he can do. I would never push him past what he's capable of, although I feel like he's a very capable horse, and as long as we do everything correctly, he'll be very successful in the future.
Will you certainly have confidence in him then and your partnership, but as a rider, what are your long-term ambitions?
As a rider, I'd like to become a professional and ride at the upper levels very consistently.
And of those big competitions then, dreaming of the four stars, which are the ones that you would most love to ride at?
Oh, well, Burley for sure. I admire that. I always make sure to tune in to the live stream. And it's just so crazy. And I'm a little, it seems so far, and it is very far away, but you know, hopefully someday I'll be able to show there and represent the United States there.
So that's the dream then, getting on the team.
Yes, that is the dream.
Fabulous. And you just have the two horses to ride then whilst you're in Aiken. Is that all the horses that you have for the summer season, the spring and summer season, Sophie, or do you have any others at home?
Yeah, no, I have just two with me right now.
Okay. Well, it sounds as if they're going to keep you busy, and hopefully Stan will be one to help you fulfill your dreams too. So what do you think you most took out of that training session than the East Coast Eventing 25 training session, if you had to sum it up?
I think Leslie really showed me how to be a proactive rider and not just, you know, sit there and hope it comes together, like make it come together and like ride as best as you can at all times. And I've really applied that since I've been back in Aiken, and I think both of my horses have improved.
That's wonderful. Be the best you can every time you get on the horse.
Yes.
Fabulous.
Yes.
Well, congratulations again on what you've achieved so far with Stan already in 1 year, and the very best of luck for the future with him. And thank you for taking the time to come on the program, Sophie.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
And my final guest this week is Jacob Fletcher, who hails from North Little Rock, Arkansas, but commutes to Ocala, Florida for winter training. Jacob, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me, Chris. Great to be here.
Yeah, you seem to be a regular on the USEA podcast now, don't you? From time to time.
Not sure about that. From time to time, that sounds about right.
Yeah, we catch up with what you're up to. Things have really progressed for you. Right now, you're down in Florida with Mike Huber, of course, your trainer. But we want to talk about the horses. I mean, you always have a great stable of horses, Jacob, and you've had a couple of them at the East Coast Eventing 25 winter training session there. So let's talk about those two horses, what you came off last season with those horses and what you were planning to focus on during the winter training sessions.
Sure. Yeah. So the two that I rode in the training sessions is Van Gogh and Atlantic Domino. They both finished up the season last year. Well, Van did his first 2-star last year and then ended the season with his first CIC 3-star. That was at the Jockey Club. And he had a really good educational round around there. I think he did have a 20 at the corner question, but I think over half the group had problems there, so it was definitely a tough question. But he actually felt really good, so I'm excited about him, and he's coming along well. And I had a dressage lesson with Leslie at the U25 clinic with him, and then Domino, I've had him for quite a while now, going at the 3-star level. 2016 was a quiet year for me because I graduated university. So, and we built a new place in Arkansas. So 2016 was a quiet year. In 2017, just started ramping back up to go into a few of the larger competitions. So that was exciting. And we're excited to get the 2018 competition started.
So those two horses then, are they going to be your main rides then for this season, Jacob?
I've got four horses going at the 2- and 3-star level, and they were all qualified for the E25 clinic. Two of them, one's coming back from a bone bruise at the fall of last year, and then the other one's coming back in work from a very bad case of cellulitis. So hopefully I'll get all four going for this spring season. But I have the two 3-star horses going down here now, Van and Domino, and those are the ones that I rode with Leslie.
Right.
At the E25 clinic.
So when you went into those clinics, what were you planning to get out of it? What were your expectations that you needed to focus on, Jacob?
Sure. Well, I've ridden with Leslie some so I was on the E25 last year as well, and the year before. So we know each other and have developed a relationship. So he knows me well enough, I can talk to him about the specific problems I have with each horse, and he actually knows Domino quite well. So he had some ideas already prepared before I came to the clinic, which is exciting. Domino specifically, I'm always working towards getting the cross country better. It's kind of his thing. He's pretty dependable for the dressage and show jumping, but he can have a 20 here and there on the cross country. So Leslie had a few ideas with that. The primary being working on the contact. Leslie and I kind of have close to the same style of riding too, so it's nice to help that way. He doesn't change anything with me dramatically. He just tweaks things, which is very helpful. I think it's hard sometimes to go somewhere, and when somebody wants to change your whole foundation, it can be really tricky and confusing. But Leslie, no matter who you are, when I watching him work with everyone. He never tried to foundationally change anyone. He just tweaked things here and there, which I think is imperative just because we see him so little.
And what is it about the style then of his training that works for you with these horses? I mean, you've obviously, as you say, got a good partnership going with him now. What do you think the synergy is about, and what do you mostly get out of it, Jacob?
Sure. Well, he's, you know, he rides his horses and jumps them into those soft way, and they make a really nice shape over the fences. And he rides in quite a forward seat, like myself. So we've got synergy that way. And at the same time, then, since he's quite well versed at that system, he knows all of its flaws. So he can, you know, help me develop some aids and things of that nature that can, you know, better suit me to the flaws of that system. So that's been very helpful. You know, he's quite green, and Leslie's really good on the flat, and Van's quite green with three-star movements in the dressage. And he gave me some really good tricks for that, like doing half end of the lead changes, gets the shoulders over to the new direction. Well, it helps you hold the shoulders over, and it brings the haunches over to the new direction. And that enables the horse to find an easier way to have a clear change. So that's quite helpful with that one as well.
In terms of your own riding, Jacob, obviously you're getting a lot more experience. You're riding that many more horses now. What do you feel that you're taking away from these sessions that helps you individually that you can adapt for each horse?
Well, the biggest thing is, like I said, he doesn't do any huge changes, which I think is actually good for anyone. I think it can be pretty nerve-wracking if somebody tries to change, you know, your foundational principles in just a short four-day clinic, and then you don't see them again for months. But the biggest thing I get out of him is that since we've developed a relationship, I can give him a call, talk to him anything about any specific horse, send him a video, and we can talk to each other about the specific problem, and he immediately can come up with several potential solutions to the problems that I can have with each horse, and that's invaluable.
But in terms of your own riding now, as you're maturing as a rider, what do you think, you know, you've brought the most out of these sessions, you know, for your own riding? I mean, as a rider and as a horseman, Jacob, I mean, this is all part of the bigger picture, isn't it?
Sure. And, you know, honestly, the biggest thing that I get out of these 3 and 4 day clinics is actually watching the other riders and getting excited and competitive. You know, I'm based in Arkansas full-time throughout the year, and I'm the only event rider that's based there. So it kind of can get a little, you know, hard to stay energized when I'm just riding day in, day out, and not watching anybody that I want to be competitive with. So actually, I think the biggest thing that I take away from these is kind of a renewed energy to go home and be better and to compete better and to be more competitive. Another thing I get out of these clinics is that we have some great talks with some vets that are very nice to take the time to come in and give us some, you know, talks about vet theory and things of that nature. And we can also have practical, like we had a practical discussion about footing and what softer footing or harder footing can typically do to a horse. And I found that very, very enlightening. And then Max Corcoran also did a talk too. And it's great to be able to, you know, pick the brains of people who've been around for a long time in the industry and have, you know, had a record of success with questions that, you know, and question them about things you've maybe struggled with in the past.
And now, of course, you've been around, exposed to these different professionals. Has it given you an interest in... maybe a secondary interest in the sport that you might like to pursue at some point in your career?
Sure, yeah. And like I told you before we got started too, I've got a barn now in Arkansas, and I've got a business going there. I think we've got like 24 horses in for board and training, and some of them are ours, some of them are in for board and training, like I said, and then we've also got a dressage guy that bases his business at our place. So, you know, another point of view that I've been very intrigued by is I've really enjoyed talking to a lot of people and going around some of the farms here that have been very successful, not the competitive, you know, not on the competition side, but on the business side. And, you know, to see what the successful people do, normally there's the consistent strain across all of the successful people is that no matter what, all the clients leave happy. And so they come back. So that, you know, that's the biggest thing I've gained out of that. But there's little things here and there about what types of horses sell well and at what level do you need to get them to and at what level are the horses most profitable, and where you can go search for horses or sales prospects and things of that nature. That's been very interesting as well.
And now you have your own barn. You've told me you've got something like 25 horses based there, Jacob. How do you keep everything going, or the whole business of being in the horse business and the competing side of things? And has it changed your ambitions? Do you still have a busy competition year? What are your priorities, and where are you going? Where can we see you this spring?
Sure. Well, we're busy at home with all the horses, but I also have an office job too. So I actually sell property and casualty insurance as well. So home, life, and auto, and, you know, the boats and ATVs, life insurance, things of that nature. I do that in my parents' dealerships. So when you legally have to verify that somebody has insurance coverage before they can get a loan on a car. So when we verify that they have insurance now, we also provide them with a complimentary quote, see if we can save them money or provide them better coverage. So I'm actually pretty busy. I typically do the insurance job until lunch, and then I go home and ride 6 to 8 horses. So it's paramount. I have a really good crew at home, and they take good care of the horses, and they ride the ones that need ridden that day that I can't get to. And that's the hardest thing, is finding good people to keep the horses going and things. But I, like I said, I've still got time to ride 6 to 8 horses a day. So that's very helpful. And we are hitting the competition season hard this year as well.
So. And where are you going to be focusing the big events then? What are they on your calendar, Jacob?
So the big CCI for the spring is Jersey Fresh. It's the one that we're going to. And if all four of the horses that are going to try and be geared up for 3-star this year are all sound and going well, I'll probably have to split them up between Jersey and Bromont. But working back from Jersey Fresh, we'll probably do either the Chattahoochee CIC 3-star or the Carolina CIC 3-star. And then before that, the big CIC spring we have coming up is Red Hills. So we'll do Rocking Horse this coming week, go back to Arkansas for 3 weeks, and then we'll do Pine Top, the Pine Top that has a CIC. And then from Pine Top, we'll come back down here base with Mike Huber again until Red Hills. And then after Red Hills, we'll come back home.
It sounds like you've got a busy year ahead, Jacob. Well, the very best of luck. It's always great to catch up with you. And yeah, I hope it all goes well. Keep it balancing your day job with your horses and your ambitions. So take care. And thanks again for taking the time to come on the program.
Yeah, super. Thanks for having me.
And on the next episode, in 2 weeks' time, I'll be talking to riders who took part in the Eventing 18 East and West Coast training sessions. And if you're new to this podcast and are listening on the website, you can also download it to any podcast app from iTunes or other podcast players. And as always, we post when the latest episode is live on our social media, so do join us on Facebook and Twitter at US Eventing. Until the next time, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world, and enjoy your eventing.